Welcome to Semper Gumby in Alaska, a podcast of the Diocese of Juneau. Broadcasting today from St. Catherine of Siena Parish in Petersburg and St. Rose of Lima in Wrangell, Alaska. Today is the fourth Sunday of Lent, March 18, 2012. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives, the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ.
How many people have watched anything in high-definition television? Our Catholicism series are filmed to be shown in high-definition, and I think we see quite a bit of it on through the projector on the wall. Just amazing, the detail. I remember the first time I saw something projected on the wall, it was the BBC's Earth production, and there were ants the size of my head marching along a branch. And I was like, ah! You could really see all the parts of those ants. They're huge. Thankfully, they couldn't climb off the wall and come down to the couch and eat me, big fire ants that they were. I'm talking about high definition. There's a buzz, right, about the new iPad 3 screen that's supposed to have more pixels than a high definition TV, like almost four times as many, which is hard to believe, to focus in that finely and to see things in that sharp a focus inspired me to talk about Lent in as high definition Christianity. It's a time to look and focus in on our faith, right? We spend more time in prayer than normal. We are mindful of the poor through our almsgiving, and we fast from either food or entertainment or something to break that cycle of consuming and instead spend time with God. We look at God and our relationship with God in close scrutiny. Nicodemus is trying to do the same today in the gospel. He's come to Jesus at night. He's a member of the Sanhedrin. He can't really be on Jesus' side because nobody's with him. He'll eventually, right, go quietly to Pilate and ask that the body be taken off the cross and it'll be buried in his tomb. So we know that Nicodemus eventually does believe and follow Jesus. But he's asking today, right? The story just before this was Jesus trying to explain to him how you can be born again. And Nicodemus is like, my mom's not going to go for climbing in the womb again. It's just not going to happen. Right? He was thinking too physical. And God is saying, You need to be born from above. Well, what does that mean, right? What does being born from above mean? Well, for the church, it's been the sacrament of baptism for the centuries and centuries. That sacrament that initiates us into the family of God, citizens of heaven through our baptism. Now Nicodemus is asking questions about, well, how does that work? And Jesus says, well, it's not the first time that God has entered into history and changed the course of events. Jesus is talking about the Israelites journeying across the desert. In 2 Chronicles, we hear about the Israelites returning from Babylon. They actually use the word Cyrus, king of Persia, like, right, some pagan king. But they put anointed one ahead of his name. The same word, anointed one, for Jesus. The one that does God's will. Cyrus was doing God's will, sending the Israelites home, pretty well endowed with all the building materials and letters to cut down forests and gold and jewels and money to make sure the temple in Jerusalem was rebuilt. That temple they started building there, that Herod the Great added on to, was the temple that Jesus worshipped in. The foundation stones, right, of the first temple of Solomon were still there and are still there today when you visit. Does anybody remember the story in Numbers about the Israelites? They're journeying through the desert and they've had enough. They've had way too much desert. They're done. They tell Moses, we're going home. With or without you, we're going home because at home there are melons. There's plenty of water. We have fresh bread. We have garlic. We have leeks and onions. We're going home. No more of this manna. And Moses says, it's not a good idea. You'll be returning to slavery. And we kind of left with a big commotion, like killing all the firstborn in the town. It's not a good idea to go home. Everyone dying at the edge of the Red Sea, don't go home. Their frustration, grinding their teeth at God at the entrance to their tents, as it says in the Bible. God said, all right, I'll remove my protection if you want to really feel like you're in the desert. And all of these snakes start showing up. Everybody loves snakes, right? That's why we live here in Alaska. And the snakes start biting the people, and the people start dying. Now, they come to Moses and they say, please pray the snake go away. Moses prays, and God says, all right, make a bronze serpent and mount it on a stick. Anyone have that on their car if they're an EMT? All right, that's the serpent on a stick comes from the Bible, from Moses, raising up the thing that was injuring the people for them to look at. And then God said to Moses, if you raise this up and they look at it, they will be healed, even if they've been bitten by the snake. Now, if I'd been bitten by the snake, the last thing I would want to do is look at another snake. Amen? But there's some sense that we've got to look at that which is destroying us in some clarity, right? So we kind of take a look at our sinfulness in the time of Lent to see what's not right. What's biting me and destroying my relationship with God? And when I can look straight at that, then I'll be healed. Because we have to admit that that's what it was. Whether it's an addiction, whether it's a particular prejudice, a hardness of heart, a laxness in our prayer life, whatever it might be, Lent is a time to look at our sinfulness closely. And we take Jesus as a model, because he said, just like that, just like looking that which bit you in the desert, I want you to look at me on the cross. And boy, do we have a very big cross in our church. Right? I think if Jesus is like 8'4" up there, he's tall, a little bit bigger than life size. And when we look at the cross, we look at our own brokenness and our sins that took Jesus to the cross. Right? If we had recognized him as the Lord of glory, we would have never crucified him. If we had recognized God as God and desired not to be God ourselves, we would have never eaten the tree of good and evil in the garden. We're kind of prone to grumbling and sinning. And Jesus points out to Nicodemus that God, my Father, so loved the world that he sent me, that everyone who believes in me might not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son to condemn the world, but to save it. Yesterday we had the witness of St. Patrick, right? Fantastic saint. Taken as a slave at the age of 16, worked hard. They said he even had scars on his body from his slavery. 6 years after he's captured, he escapes, becomes a priest in northern France, returns to Britain, eventually a bishop. And then he starts hearing dreams. In his dreams, he starts hearing the people calling to him in Gaelic, "Come and teach us about Jesus." And I think the greatest triumph in Patrick's life is not that he drove all the snakes out of Ireland, right? Not that he converted an entire island nation to Christianity, but that he first converted the hardness of his own heart so that he could pray for the salvation of his enslavers. Do you imagine? Here you are, sharing them with them eternal life. If they believe and are baptized, they have eternal life, the same eternal life he has as St. Patrick. And he desired it so much for them that he went to every length that they could understand the faith. But he first had to convert himself to desire salvation for those who had once enslaved him. That's huge. Right? That should be all of our goals. Not to walk in darkness, walk away from God, but instead to walk in the light. This high definition allows us to slow down. And as we enter into Holy Week, we're going to slow down and stretch what we do here on Sunday morning into 3 days, right? And slowly look at the celebration of the Eucharist as an act of service on Thursday. To look again at Jesus dying on the cross for us, the sacrifice of the Mass on Friday. To spend some time reading the great stories of the sacred scriptures on Saturday night at the vigil, and then welcoming new members through baptism, confirmation, and the Eucharist. And then Sunday morning, leaping up, poking our little bright heads through all the snow and cold like little flowers, we rejoice, right, on Easter morning that we have the gift of eternal life and that nothing can take it away from us. For we are incorporated into Christ's body. Let us look with high definition this Lent at our Christian practice, and let us grow in holiness through that examination. Thank you for listening to Semper Gumby in Alaska. This is Father Thomas Weiss, a priest of the Diocese of Juneau. If you'd like to send me any feedback, you can reach me through my email at frthomasweiss@gmail.com. Again, that's frthomasweiss@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and if there's any way I can make these podcasts more helpful, please let me know. May God bless you and have a great day.